Matthew chapter 7, and the words of verse 13. Matthew 7, verse 13. It says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Think of those words, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. I don't intend to go through all that I had thought of and prepared by way of a message for this service tonight. I believe the Lord has spoken to your hearts already, but just to bring a little word, a little challenge in the gospel at the close of this service tonight. I want us to think of that great theme of roadblocks on the road to hell. And I want to remind you at the very beginning, especially if you're unsaved and out of Christ, remember that that's the road that you're found upon. We've read of it in the scriptures. We've emphasized it in our text. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. You're on a road tonight. If you're unsaved, be in no doubt of that. You're fast racing down that road, and the end of that road takes you to a fearful place. It takes you to destruction or perdition, as sometimes it is called in the Bible. I remember May 1974, just a little over 40 years ago. It was the time of what was known in this country as the Ulster Workers' Strike. I remember coming up the road home from school. We lived 2 miles from the school that we attended, and we went to school every day on our bicycle, rode down and rode home again. And as I was coming home from school that day, we encountered a roadblock. And there was a blockade, a barricade or a roadblock that had been erected. And many of you remember they were all across the province. The country brought to a standstill at that time. But that was my first encounter with a roadblock. And the reality, men and women, as you know, there have been many in Ulster, many that have prevented us, many that have hindered us from going to certain places and going in certain directions. Roadblocks. But what I want to point out to you tonight is that God often builds roadblocks in your life, especially if you're not right with God. God often builds roadblocks in the path before you. Can I give you one great example from the Bible? You think of Balaam. Do you remember he was going on a course that was displeasing in God's eyes, and the Lord put the angel of the Lord before him? Do you remember that angel appeared 3 times in the way? You remember that he smote the ass, and as a result that great miracle took place when the ass spoke back to Balaam. But the angel of the Lord, it was there to prevent him. It was a blockade that the Lord had placed in his way. And I stress that again to every unsaved person. You're on a road, and the road is taking you to hell. We want you to see that, men and women. But we want you to understand that God in his mercy, God in his love, has erected many roadblocks before you. And the purpose of those is to stop you, to keep you back, and to prevent you from being lost for all eternity. Roadblocks on the road to hell. Let me just mention quickly some of those roadblocks too, so that you can identify them when they rise up in your life before you. Think first of all of the Christian home. It's not a roadblock on the road to hell. It's appropriate on this Father's Day. We've heard something about it in Stephen's testimony this evening. The blessing of being brought up in such a home. And that is true of many, if not all, in this meeting tonight. Can I ask you to take a moment to look back to your childhood, to your earliest days? Is it not true you were brought up in a home where the Savior was loved, the Savior was honored, His word was read, His word was obeyed, His word was taught to you. You can say tonight that, like young Timothy, that from a child, and the word there is to do with infancy, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. Be in no doubt, men and women, those are great blessings. You can think back to sitting on your mother's knee and she told you first of Christ. Your parents pleaded with you and they prayed with you and prayed for you that you might come to Christ in salvation. Some of you have read of Willie Mullen. Some of you have heard the testimony. Willie would tell when he was a wild young man, he would come home late at night, and as he came through the door, he would hear his mother on her knees, pleading for the family, and praying especially for Willie, that God would save him and make him a preacher of the gospel. And some of you tonight have had similar upbringings, faithful, godly parents that have pleaded with you, prayed for you, set you a godly example. They took you to church. They brought you along to Sunday school. You can think of times when other members of the family got saved. Didn't Stephen emphasize a little of that to us tonight? Regard to his brother Thomas. Some members of your family got saved. Maybe many years ago. You saw the change. You saw the difference. They told you. They gave a wee word of testimony. They told you what had happened in their life. And you knew that it was real. You could see the reality of it. And it spoke to your heart. But still you're not saved. Still tonight you're on the broad road that's leading to destruction. Can I ask you, men and women, are you racing to hell tonight? Racing down that road? Are you pushing to the side, as you do so, a godly mum and a godly dad, and their heart is broken for you? As you race down that road, are you pushing past a Christian brother or a Christian sister? Or maybe it's true that you have a Christian wife or a Christian husband. Can I say to you tonight that they're there as a roadblock in your life? God has placed them there as seeking to hinder you and prevent you from going on to hell. The Christian home. You think as well of Christian friends. We heard a little of that tonight in the testimony too. Can I ask you just to think for a moment, is there a friend at school, university, a friend in your workplace, they're a Christian, and they live a good life, their life stands out, there's none of the foul language, none of the dirty jokes, there's none of the stealing that's so prevalent in many workplaces? I'm sure you have heard the stories of W.P. Nicholson. Whenever he came to Belfast to preach the gospel in the 1920s, hundreds of men that worked in the shipyard got saved. And such was the change, the transformation in their lives, they started to bring back the stuff that they'd stolen from the shipyards. And so much stuff was brought back, so many materials, so many tools were returned, that they had to actually build sheds to hold them. They were known at that time as the Nicholson Sheds. But you know there's people in your workplace, their life stands out. There's none of the stealing. There's none of all of those wicked things that everyone else is engaged in. Can I say to you tonight, men and women, just think of that, how good God has been. Often you're in contact with that person. Often you sit across the desk, you stand across the machine. Maybe the tea break, the lunch break, you're in their company and they have witnessed, they've been faithful to you. Maybe giving you a gospel tract, giving you some gospel literature. Maybe taking the time, even as we have heard tonight, that word of testimony. Maybe that person has given their testimony to you. And remember, the Lord's speaking to you through it. Thomas Vilney, one of the great reformers, converted from Romanism at the time of the Reformation. It was through his own testimony that he won the great Hugh Latimer to Christ. Hugh Latimer was his parish priest, and the Lord gave him a burden to win his parish priest to Christ. It's not a challenge, men and women. You think of the revolution it would cause in Ulster and in Ireland and across the world if parish priests got converted as they did in the days of the Reformation. May God give us a burden for their souls. What Thomas Bilney did was he went to the confessional box and he said to old Hugh Latimer, I have a confession to make unto thee. And he said, say on. And through that little slot, he just gave him his testimony of saving grace. How he had found Christ. How he had seen the light of the gospel. How God had opened his eyes and brought him to the Saviour. And that simple word of testimony is what was used of God to bring that poor benighted Roman Catholic priest to the Saviour. Have you had that experience in your workplace? A Christian, a genuine believer, and they have given that word of testimony to you. Maybe they've invited you along to the house of God, to the workplace, and all of those things are spoken, but your response has been you've despised them. You've laughed at them. You've mocked them. Do you remember what the Bible says about the soldiers at the time of the crucifixion? That they mocked them. Just ponder that, men and women. What evil men did to the Saviour. And maybe you did the same to that dear Christian man or woman, dear Christian friend. You made fun of them. You've ridiculed them before others. You didn't want to face up to those things. So you tried to make a fool out of them. You remember Festus as he stood before the Apostle Paul and he gave that word of testimony. And Festus didn't want to face up to the demands of the gospel and the claims of Christ. So he said, you're mad, Paul. Much learning doth make thee mad. Can I say to you, men and women, as you think of that person, and as you think of their witness, the influence they've had upon your life, you remember this. God brought that person into your life. And the reason that he brought them was as a roadblock. As a roadblock to you on your pathway as you race fast towards destruction. Let me mention one other. And there are many that could be emphasized tonight. The Christian home, Christian friends. You think of the Christian church. Maybe you loathe going to the house of God. You loathe going along to church meetings. You hate it. You're here tonight maybe against your will. If you're honest, you would say you'd rather be anywhere else than in a meeting like this. You'd have to say you went along to Sunday school, look back over your life. You went to the youth fellowship, you went to evangelistic meetings, you've attended gospel campaigns. And even as you think of those things tonight, the influence the church has had upon your life, you can remember the meetings. Some of them stand out in your mind. You can maybe remember the messages that were preached. God spoke to you. And yet the solemn thing is that you're still not saved. Still not right with God. There's times that you were challenged maybe by an outreach team. The Lord says we're to go out. We're to go into all the world. We seek to do that. Go around the doors. We did that last week. Preparation for the meetings there at Killaloe with great opportunities in the doors to speak to folk about the Saviour. We come home rejoicing. But maybe there's been an outreach team came to your door. People stood on your very doorstep and warned you of your needs, spoke to you of the Saviour. Maybe it was an open air meeting where you heard the voice of God speaking with power. The influence of the church you see in so many ways. The great Billy Sunday, who became a mighty evangelist. It was an open air meeting that the Lord used to speak to his heart. That was how the Lord began to deal with him and bring him to the Saviour. On a Sunday afternoon, he came out of what the Americans call a saloon, what we would call a public house. And as he came out with his friends laughing and joking and a wee bit of the influence of the drink upon him, he could hear the gospel music as it was sung by some faithful Christians in an open air meeting. And as he listened to that singing and then listened a while to the preaching, he remembered his mum. He remembered the home that he was brought up in. He remembered the truths that he was taught. And God began to deal with him. And maybe you've had a similar experience. You think of the Christian minister, faithful in the preaching of the gospel that has been through of this church right from the very beginning. Some of you have sat in this church from the day that you were born. And you've sat under faithful gospel preaching. Even the personal witness of the minister at times in the providence of God when your paths have crossed. Maybe you don't like to see the minister coming, afraid of what he might say, the questions that he might ask. I'm conscious of that. I understand that. I've had experience of it many, many times. You think of Charlotte Elliot that wrote that lovely hymn, Just As I Am, without one plea. She wasn't right with God. The minister thought she was saved. Maybe that's true of you. The minister thinks you're saved, but you know that you're not. One day the minister saw Charlotte do something that put a doubt in his mind, and he asked her the question, Charlotte, are you saved? She was sitting in a carriage, horse-drawn carriage, and she slammed the door, told the driver to drive off. Very rude to the minister, but she could get away from the minister, but she couldn't get away from his question. It followed her for days. And the only way she could get peace was to go and see the minister and apologize for her rude behavior and say, I'm not saved. And would you tell me how? And the minister gave her that response, Charlotte, just as you are, come to Jesus Christ for salvation. That was the means of bringing her through for Christ at that time. And then she went on those words on her heart and she wrote that lovely gospel hymn. Can I ask you, men and women, tonight, are you saved? Are you sure of it? Saved and sure? Do you have the assurance of God's salvation in your heart? Can I say to you, men and women, don't despise a good gospel preaching church. Don't despise a faithful gospel preaching minister. The Lord, in his mercy, is using those things and using those people. He has sent them into your life. He has sent them across your path to prevent you going down to a lost eternity. Some roadblocks on the road to hell. The Christian home, the Christian friend, the Christian church. Can I say this to you as I finish, men and women? God has placed those roadblocks before you. Of that there is no doubt. But remember this, you can't get past a roadblock. Those 40 years ago, when I came up out of Carrie Duff, I was able to get past the roadblock, even though it filled the road, and even though I was just a young lad. And the reality is, you can't get past God's roadblocks. That's why you're still lost, and on the road to hell, and still in danger. Because you have pushed past the roadblocks that God has erected. Can I ask you to think of that? How many roadblocks have you ignored and despised? How many roadblocks have you climbed over? Another title that's sometimes given by preachers and evangelists to this type of sermon is climbing to hell. The roadblocks are there and men and women and young people have climbed over them. How many roadblocks have you climbed over and pushed to the side? Well, can I warn you, men and women, as you think of that, you push past those roadblocks to your own peril, to your own eternal peril, to the eternal peril of your soul. Because remember, God in his mercy has placed those barricades before you. He has placed them often. He has placed them there very high. And the reality is this. If you push and persist to go on down the broad road, then you will end up in hell. The road that you're on, it brings you to destruction, men and women. And we want to warn you and urge you, turn from your sin, turn from destruction, and turn on to the narrow road that leadeth on to life.